every day.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Friday to you. It's Friday, September the 6th. Mark, man, I come back from vacation on Monday, dude. Man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be bored. It's like, nah. This is going to be an exciting season, Mark. I'm a little excited about that. What about you?
Well, I'll tell you, you should be, Keith. I mean, the interest with the Sixers is just off the charts and very, very much for good reason. I mean, with Kawhi leaving the East, Kevin Durant probably not playing this season. I mean, the East is wide open. It's there for the taking, and the Sixers are going to have an excellent chance. I mean, we've talked about this before. The Bucks, I think, go into the season as a favorite, but there's no one the Sixers can't beat in a, you know, best of seven series.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And that's a great segue because, you know, the door is open and there's some opportunities for the Sixers. And for today's podcast, you know, there are some opportunities this year for Furkan Korkmaz. And in the first segment, we're going to talk about him. Furkan, as you guys know, was a late first-round draft pick for the Sixers a couple years ago. He was a guy who they didn't pick up his option, but they ended up re-signing him to a one-year deal. He's playing for, or he played for Turkey. They've been eliminated. He played for Turkey in a World Championship, and he's been giving people the business. He's been showing a little bit of sharp shooting. He did it against the Sixers, so we'll talk about Furk in the first segment. Now, in the second segment, you know, this is kind of like a big week for the Sixers' legacy, so to speak. And what I mean by that is the former greats. You know, you have Bobby Jones going into the Hall of Fame today. Next Friday, Charles Barkley is going to be, you know, they're going to build a sculpture of him, erect a sculpture of him, you know, outside the Sixers practice facility. I think they call it the Sixers Legends Way. So, you know, when you think of the Sixers, you think of all the all-time greats. So we'll talk about that in the second segment. And then the third segment, we got to talk about, you know, Jason Tatum in their game against Turkey when he went down and he had that scare, which was the left ankle. He rolled his left ankle. Right then and there, to me, that showed you why a lot of guys didn't want to play this year. And he's lucky that it's just a left ankle roll, because I'm pretty sure the Boston Celtics were about to, if they weren't already, didn't have representatives over there, they were about to go over there and say, shut it down, shut it down. So we have a lot to talk to you guys about, three different subjects, but we'll have a great podcast today. And Mark, just talk about Furkan. Furkan is really trying to show that he can be a guy that can come in and be the sharpshooter.
Well, Keith, I think the biggest thing about him is he had a huge game against the U.S. You know, it wasn't like it was his lower-level team, and they should have beaten the U.S. They couldn't hit free throws. Turkey couldn't hit free throws down the end. But against the U.S., Keith, he had 16 points. He shoots 6 for 11 from the field. And more importantly, from a Sixer standpoint, he was 3 of 6 from beyond the arc. And that, if he's going to get any minutes, that's where he's going to make his mark. And he was consistent throughout the summer in their exhibitions and even in the World Cup. And to have that kind of game against the U.S., I would think, and I know you have a good relationship, you know him well, I would be very interested to see how he feels coming in the Sixers training camp with this kind of summer that he's had.
You know, Furkan, he's not an arrogant person, but he doesn't lack any confidence in his game. You know, he's the type of guy, he thinks if given the opportunity, he can go out there and produce. You know, he does that. And also, right here, the Sixers, he didn't have a lot of, you know, quote-unquote guaranteed offers from teams. You know, the Sixers gave him a guarantee. You know, he looks at it. J.J. Redick's not going to be here this year. So he can come in, and he feels as if that he could be the J.J. type guy. Now, there's a lot of people that look at Josh Richardson. They look at other people. But that's not really Josh Richardson's game as far as just being a sniper, so to speak. So Furkan looks at that and think like, you know what? I come back here. I know last year I really wasn't happy. I wasn't playing this the way I wanted to. But JJ's gone. They don't really have anyone else on the roster that can fulfill the role that I'm going to fulfill for the team. So with that being said, you know, it could be a great thing for him. Now, here's the one thing, though. The one thing. He has to be consistent. You know, there were games last year where he came in and he hit shots and you're like, great. But then there were other games where he just didn't really look well. I mean, he also has to be healthy. This here is a guy that had two injuries in both seasons that took him out for extended periods of time. And when we look at him, you know, his first season, he shot 29.4% on threes. That's not good. The second year, he improved a little bit, but he was 32.6%. He is a great shooter. He can shoot the ball, but when you look at these percentages, you see that this guy missed a lot of shots, you know, when given the opportunity.
Yeah, and Keith, there's one other thing that he resembles J.J. Redick at, and that's on defense. He's not going to get on the court because of his defense. So, as you alluded to, he's got to kind of shoot lights out in order to have some time. I mean, I don't think there's any way he could play anywhere near the minutes Redick did, but a 10 to 15 minute a game sniper, you could have worse roles on a team, and I think if you can give Furkan and he can fulfill that role, alluding to what you said, being more consistent, I think that's a pretty good goal to shoot for him.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the one thing that really impressed me about him is, you know, now he has been injured. But when he first showed up for the Sixers, you know, this guy was real thin. I mean, he's a tall guy at around 6'6", 6'7". Mm-hmm. You know, he's 190 pounds now, maybe 200 pounds. But he was a 170 when he first came.
Yeah.
You know, I remember his first press conference, I was like, this dude? This guy? You know, but, you know, he's a great guy. Now, even down to the summer league. I mean, I remember his first summer league game a year ago. He was torching people. And then the next two games, I don't even know if he scored a combined 10 points over the next two games. So he, like you said, he has to be more consistent. But when you look at this roster, he's going to be given every opportunity, at least early on, to show that he can fulfill that role. And one thing you alluded to, yes, on the defensive end, he's like J.J. Redick. He's not a good defender. But I will say that he tries, and he can be. And when you look at the people around him, this is going to be a quality defensive team.
Yeah.
So you can insert a couple people near him to try to, with him, to try to hide him, so to speak. But again, he has to make shots to be effective. Now here's the one thing. He's more athletic than people think. Now, he could get in, he could create off the dribble, he can do that. But his best way to help the Sixers is making shots. Because those other things that he can do, there are people on the Sixers who can do it better than him.
Yeah, there's no question. And the other thing that he's got to do that J.J. Redick did about as well as anyone in the NBA, J.J. Redick plays and moves off the ball as well as anybody to get himself open. Furkan, at times, could be just caught standing around. So he's got to move off the ball a little bit better to get himself open. And if he does that on this team, and we've talked about it before, he will be able to get shots.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But hey, I'm pulling for this guy. He's a great dude. You know, it's funny because, you know, he's a guy from Turkey and he has a lot of swag. I mean, my man, I used to always, like, get a kick out of his sneakers. They're like, dang, dude, like, You know, every day you see him, he had a different pair of kicks on. But they were all like Air Force Ones with the Nikes, but it was like a different color, a different design. It was cool, man. He has a lot of swag. So, you know, he's a guy that you like and a guy that you want to be objective, but you have to admit secretly you're like pulling for him to do something.
Well, you know, and you said this, he's always had a pretty good opinion of himself. That's only going to increase after this summer that he's had. There's no question about that.
Let's face it. If he wants to stay in the NBA, like if this was the best offer he had, basically, to get playing time and stuff. So if he wants to stay in the NBA, you know, he's going to have to, you know, tear it up this year. Because then if he tears it up, he could go on the other place. He could stay here or he could go on the other places. If not, you know, he'll probably be back in Turkey or somewhere else playing.
Yeah.
You know, when we get right back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Sixers legends. And we'll be right back. All right, Mark. So tomorrow, or today rather, it's going to be a big day. Bobby Jones is going into the Hall. It's crazy. It seems like every year or every other year, there's a Sixer going. Bobby Jones, before that was Mo Cheeks, before that was Allen Iverson. You know, it just seems as if that, you know, these guys are just getting honored left and right. And a week from today, they're going to honor Charles Barkley, you know, and they're going to honor him as the 76ers Legends Walk. I said walk away the first time, but it's Legends Walk. And when you think of the names right now who's already been honored there, you have Billy Cunningham, you have Wilt Chamberlain, Mo Cheeks, Julius Irvin, Hal Greer, and Bobby Jones, right? Now, the one thing I will say about the Sixers, and, you know, I grew up in Philly. I live in South Jersey now. You grew up in South Jersey. You still live here. It's like we were spoiled. Because all these guys, now Bobby Jones was a sixth man, but you can argue that all these guys, when they played, now Hal Greer was a little bit underrated. Billy Cunningham was injured, but he was a heck of a jumper. But you can argue that these guys were either the best at their position or one of the top five players in their at their position when they played in the NBA. And the guys who were the best in their position, let's say Wilt Chamberlain, Julius Irvin, now Charles Barkley, they were all top five players in the NBA while they were playing.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, Wilt Chamberlain is one of the iconic figures in the NBA. He changed the rules in the NBA because he was so dominant. Julius Irving was maybe, you know, he was Jordan before Jordan came, as far as the way he could fly in the air and do that. And he had a legendary ABA career, and he continued the same in the NBA. Bobby Jones was arguably, when he played, the best defensive player in the NBA. He won a Defensive Player of the Year award. He was 8 times an all-defensive player. And I'm glad that the Hall of Fame voters, Keith, recognized that part of the game. Because really, and that was a reason, part of the reason Mo Cheeks got in as well. He was a tremendous defensive guard as well. So, yeah, these are just great figures. And I've always felt that Hal Greer was one of the underrated superstars of the game. He's an NBA Hall of Famer. Used to have that jump shot for the foul shot, if you recall that. And just a real assassin. And you know, that 66-67 championship team with Greer and Chamberlain. Billy Cunningham was a sixth man on there. Chet Walker, Wally Jones. I mean, just a tremendous one of the great teams that been voted one of the great teams in NBA history. So to the point you were making, and I couldn't agree with you more, this is a team with a great legacy history and just some tremendous players. And we didn't even mention here Allen Iverson. No. Because he's...
Oh, yeah, yeah. We didn't mention him.
Yeah. You know, because I guess they're waiting for his statue to be done. But just a team with some great history.
Yeah, I bet you his is done this season. I wouldn't be surprised if they
this season. That would make sense.
You know what I mean? Like, and another guy who's, look, we didn't even talk about Moses Malone. He's up there, too. I mean, his statue is done. So, again, these are guys who have been dominant. You know, Moses, yeah, they don't have him listed, but Moses, I remember I was there for Moses' ceremony this season. Yeah, Moses is up there. It was a great, man. It was a great sculpture. Like, they did his the day, I believe they did it the day that they retired his jersey. You know, because I know his sons, his family was there, AI was there. It was a great one. So when you think of the history and the legacy, like, as a kid, you got spoiled. I mean, because you just knew, like, you know, everyone's talking about Joel Embiid and, you know, Ben Simmons, you know, when Jimmy Butler was here, you know, now Tobias Harris is like the stars, all these guys. But there were always, we always had a star in Philadelphia. You did. I mean, you had it with the Eagles, even when they were bad. Like, Bill Burgie was the man. You know, Harold Carmichael was good, all this and that. The Flyers had Bobby Clark. You know, the Phillies had Mike Smith. Yeah, I'm dating myself a little bit. But, you know, and then you... You know, they always had that. And then it got to a couple years where they just didn't have it as much once AI left. And now you think about it and we're saying, oh, we're back. The people in Philadelphia say they're back because you have Embiid. Now you have Bryce Harper with the Phillies. You know, the Flyers have great people. The Eagles have Carson Wentz. You know, so, I mean, you know, this was, you know, the Sixers history. You know, you can say that is up there with anyone. Now, the problem with the Sixers, that when these guys played, it just so happened that the Boston Celtics and the Lakers just had more talent.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look at the 1986 76ers starting five. I believe it was 86 or 87. I think it was 86. It had Dr. J. It had Moses Malone, Charles Barkley, Mo Cheeks and Andrew Toney. And people are saying, and one time I said, put out a meme, and I said, is this the Sixers' greatest starting lineup? Starting lineup. And stuff like that. And they're like, nah, they didn't win a chip. And everyone's talking about when Bobby Jones played. And I'm like, well, technically Bobby Jones came off the bench.
That's it.
Now, the problem with the reason why that Sixers team didn't win a championship. Now, some of the guys are a little bit older. I get that. But their team wasn't as deep as the Lakers and the Boston Celtics. Because when we talk about those teams, they were deep, man. And they were great. So you look at the Sixers. As good as those teams were in the 80s, right, with the Dr. J-led teams, they just came up in an era where they were, unfortunately for them, they were the NBA's third-best team, you know, and they just couldn't get it done. You know, now, the Milwaukee Bucks were tough, too, back then. They had a great team.
They had, like, Sidney Moncrief and Marcus Johnson and Bob Lanier.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Right. And they couldn't even get to the finals. So, you're right. You know what I mean? The NBA was really...
It was tough. Yeah. It was tough. So, but, you know, and look, y'all, I don't want to give y'all... We don't want to give y'all something down memory lane. But when you think of the Sixers' Legends Way, you think of them retiring jerseys. I mean... You know, the Sixers have a rich history, something to be very proud of. There's a reason why they're doing those throwback unis.
You know, you made the best point when you said a lot of these guys, Barkley, Irving, Chamberlain, they were top five in the NBA, and many of them closer to one than five.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. A lot of them. I mean, Moses, all of them. But look, y'all, when we get right back, we're going to talk a little bit about the World Championships and how did the team escape the scare with Jason Tatum just rolling his ankle? We'll be right back.
Now I got to call our desk and add Moses' name.
Yeah, yeah. Now, here's the thing. Well, before he calls the desk and adds Moses' name, the one thing is, Mark, I lost my train of thought a little bit about getting ready to laugh. But Mark, the thing is Tobias Harris enough? And anybody who criticized them, we talked about Tobias last time, but anyone who criticized these guys not playing, if Jason Tatum would have went down and would have been seriously injured on that play, talking about the play that late in the game against Turkey, he's running a fast break, he does a pass, and next thing you know, he rolls his ankle at the closing seconds, right? In the closing seconds. If he would have went down and had a serious history, that would have been a major blow for USA basketball because guys would have been like, I'm not playing. You know, I mean, we've seen injuries before and we've seen people come back. But it gets to a point now where they make so much money. Like, winning it for your country is great. But these guys want to get their next contracts. These guys want to do stuff with the NBA. And I'm telling you, if he would have been had serious injury, it would have been hard for the USA bringing in players.
And Keith, we still don't know because sometimes when you have an ankle or something, it is lingering, and maybe your initial thing is I'll be right back, but it is lingering. So we really don't know the effect it is going to have maybe coming into the season. Also, Marcus Smart from the Celtics has an injury that has sidelined him now. So, I mean, there's so many positives to playing, and we're talking about Furkan and all the experience and how much better he got, and then there's positives for kind of taking care of yourself and being rested when you're ready to go into training camp.
That's true, and like Furkan's situation is a little different too. And here's the reasoning. He has to play. Like, my thing is, when you play in Turkey, it's like, if you say I'm not playing for the national team, like, what's wrong with you? You know what I mean? Like, it's national pride, civic pride. And that's what they do. And I feel like, you know, the United States, it's one of those things where there's so many more players, so many more, but, like, do we have a deeper pool, so to speak? So a guy can say, oh, I'm not playing. You know what I mean? But over there, if you're an NBA type cat, you have to play. You have to play. If not, you might as well just stay here all year because, you know, I'm not saying they're going to lock you up, but at the same time, it just doesn't look good.
Well, it's going to be interesting, Keith, during the season to monitor the guys that played in the World Cup and to see if there is fatigue or see if they hit a wall or something because they're going pretty heavily and they're only going to have about 2 weeks off till training camp. So it's going to be interesting, I think, to see all the players, especially the ones on teams that they're going to have extended runs, to see if this is going to have any impact on their NBA season.
Now, here's my one thing, though. All right, you could call me cheap, but I don't have ESPN Plus. Do you?
No.
All right, I don't have ESPN.
You can call me cheap, too.
Oh, call me cheap. And because, like, my thing is, the only reason why I would get ESPN Plus is to watch that game. Those games. And so I'm saying to myself, like, okay, they have, like, 800 ESPN channels. Like, you know, I go through my thing. I got so many ESPN channels, right? And then they even have, like, ESPN 3 where you could go online and watch it. So to me, I'm saying to myself, like, how important is it to the TV networks if they're putting it on ESPN Plus? You know what I mean? Like, are people, like, viewing it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I know I went a little bit off base, I mean, or off subject with that. But to me, it's like, how important is it if it's on ESPN Plus?
Well, I could guarantee you in Turkey, it's not on Turkey's ESPN
Plus. No, I'm saying here.
They're watching it. It's important there. Here, as much as we talk about it and everything, with so much going on, the NFL season, it's just another little sideline.
I mean, think about it. I watched St. Joe's Prep play a school, Marietta, Georgia, on one of the ESPN networks, right? Yeah. I watched that. but I can't watch Team USA. You know what I mean? It's like different. Now, again, I'm not complaining because I'm the type of guy that can sit here and I can go to a high school football game. I could watch it on TV, like, because, you know, especially for these national powerhouse teams. So I'm not complaining, but it just tells you, like people are just not into the world championship in the United States.
I think that's a fair thing. You and I are, just to see how the NBA guys do and all that. But you're right. It's a footnote to the sports fans. They're getting ready. They're getting ready for the NFL season.
Exactly. But look, y'all, I didn't want to ear beat y'all, get a little bit off sidetrack, but we had a lot to talk about today. I want y'all to have a great weekend. And man, I gotta go back to work on Monday.
Dad. Good to have you there.
Hey, I want to thank y'all for listening. Have a great day. You know, I want to thank Mark for covering for me this summer. Mark's done a heck of a job. And also, you guys know that me and Mark are kind of being reunited again. You know, my first couple years on the beat, Mark was my backup. So he's going to be my backup again, in addition to covering Temple football, in addition to doing stuff for the Eagles, in addition to this, in addition to that, in addition to that. But for the most part, he's going to be with me and, you know, covering the team. So we're going to have a big year this year, and he's going to be a frequent guy on the podcast, as he always has been. So I want to thank y'all for listening, and I want to thank you, Mark, for everything you do.
Great to be here, Keith.
All right, and let me get off this phone so he can hurry up and call the desk. Peace.